I used that song last week in the line of our theme of the way, hopefully to illustrate the point, as it does in Psalm 23, that God takes us on a journey. And as a shepherd, he doesn't always lead us to those wonderful, restful, still places of quiet waters and green pasture. Sometimes he takes us even into the darkness, the valley of the shadow of death. And that perhaps we should not always ask for an easy way, because it's in that difficult way often that we learn more of God and more about ourselves and the faithfulness of God, as Hilary has said, and that she's brought into our worship. But it's all on that theme of the way. And we're going to have our Bible reading presented visually to us today. You don't need to record till we do that. Jim's going to play it in a minute for us. And it really is giving us an overview. And it takes a lot of years to get an overview of the Bible. You tend, when you're younger as a child, to, you know, learn just key verses or certain ideas. But we need that whole of Scripture to give us the story of God and God's people, both past, present, and into the future. And there's a group, and they'll explain it at the end. It is a bit like an advertisement, but excuse that, because it's the vision these people have of giving people overviews of Scripture. And we're going to see, it's about 5 minutes, 44 seconds, the whole of the first 18 chapters of Exodus, because that's our theme today, the Exodus way, presented. Now, some of you will have learnt those stories through Scripture Union in Sunday school. Others, they were just, you know, they won't be part of your banking and your knowledge. But as we go through, it tells the story of Exodus. So let's watch this carefully, and even listening to the guys at the end explaining why they're doing what they're doing. So it's the first 18 chapters of Exodus. Thanks, Jim.
Let's talk about the book of Exodus. Now, you're probably familiar with this book because of the epic story of Moses leading Israel out of slavery from Egypt.
Yeah, sorry, but that's just the first half of the book. The second half has Moses giving the Ten Commandments to Israel, along with these blueprints for making a sacred tent. Now, right here in the middle is this story that connects these two halves together, and it all takes place at...
Technology. Was it you that said this, Tokes? Just to say about social media, just to say that the e-reminders, the diary sheet, are all up on the website. And I think that our longing as a church, and Balaji's presented this, is to enable people to use...
The foot of a famous mountain.
Okay, so let's start...
Let's start from the beginning. So chapters of Exodus, which gives us some real insight. So, first 18 chapters of Exodus, I'm going to make reference to various verses as we go through. And if we could have the PowerPoint single slide, Jim, when we've got that. So we're thinking in our theme about the way, and today particularly about the idea of Exodus. And our hope, my hope certainly for this year and the leaders as well, is that through our study and reflection on Scripture and through our creative worship, we should see what those guys have described, which is a clear thread of teaching and revelation about God, from God, and about showing a way forward and a way through as we follow God. And we've already admitted by citing those 10 points of tension that young people face. Actually, I think the whole population is facing all of those 10. When you're younger, it's perhaps harder, but actually we're all facing that as we look at what our identity is personally and in society and in the world. We're facing that as a nation, and those are some of the key issues. We didn't look at concerns about climate change and so on. They're there. We need a way forward. We know that there are prophecies in the Old Testament about the way. And we heard a bit in our watch night service from Isaiah 43, that great promise, I am making a way through the desert. And we as a church are looking for that in the days ahead. In the New Testament, we read John the Baptist calling out to people, prepare a way for the Messiah, prepare a way for Jesus. And then in John 14:6, we feature Jesus saying, I am the way, I'm the only way to the Father. You may not understand that, but that is the claim of Jesus, he says to Philip. And in the early church history, The Way becomes a title describing followers of Jesus before ever they are called Christians. They are followers of the Way, men and women who belonged to the Way, it says in Acts 9 and 22. In Scripture, throughout, there's abundant advice about the path of life and how to make choices so that we will have meaning and fulfillment in our lives. And our path, when we talk about that, refers to the way that we live and what we decide to do in our limited time on earth. We must choose what path we will follow and the basis upon which we make our decisions. And Scripture is there to guide us in every generation because it is a unique book inspired by the Spirit of God. So we enter into 2019 with the knowledge that even though we are stepping into a season of darkness because the future is unknown, even though we step into a time of change because change is rife in our midst and in our community and local area, we have the light of God to guide us in the way that we should go. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and the word of God is there with us. So today we think about the Exodus way. And in Greek, ancient Greek, that actually means the way out. And it was a stage direction. And if you remember your Shakespeare and other things like that, it gives you the directions. Exit to the left, exit to the right. And that is an ancient Greek term, Exodus. And it is also a Latin term where we get our term exit, to move out, to depart. So there it is in Exodus, the way out. God always gives a way out and a way through of situations. God takes us through. Within this passage, it's been pointed out to us also that God in both Old and New Testaments talks not just about Exodus, but about redemption. And that was graphically shown for us about the breaking of the chains, which is the word that means that slaves from human slavery are released. And in the Bible, it talks about the slavery of sin, the human addiction to doing that which is wrong or not doing that which is right. So the word redemption comes up in Scripture as a thread throughout. And also the idea of liberation or salvation, and that is being rescued from danger. So again, it's here in this book of Exodus that these great, not just words, but ideas, the mercies of God, are introduced. The way out, the Exodus, liberation from the slavery of sin and addiction, redemption, and also rescue from danger, salvation. We'll talk about what sort of dangers later. These people in their argument, and I and many others, including Alistair Roberts, introduce this idea of continuity, that you therefore see the Spirit of God in the inspiration of Scripture, not just all the human factors, which you clearly do in the different memories and testimonies that are given, but you see the Spirit of God. And Roberts has written a book called Echoes of Exodus, Tracing Themes of Redemption Through Scripture. He published that with Crossway last year. And he summarizes like this about the story of Exodus, which is found in the second book of the Bible, is the account of God's deliverance of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, where they were oppressed, as we saw, by Pharaoh. Through the work of his servant Moses, God brought plagues upon Egypt and delivered Israel through the parted Red Sea, which we've spoken of before, and drowned their pursuers. God brought Israel to Mount Sinai, that's the chapter 19, right in the center of the 40 chapters, where he formed a marriage-like bond, which we still celebrate, a covenant with the people of God, giving laws to establish righteous living, to protect the weak, to bring glory to God. And the book goes on about the establishment of God and the tabernacle people and the place where God is worshipped, the tabernacle. we see in this story Israel's rebellion. The people of God are not easy to work with. They still are not easy to work with. We are quite tricky. Due to Israel's rebellion, their unbelief, they don't make a straightforward journey. They wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I will make a way in the desert before they are led into the promised land of Canaan by Joshua, where they gain possession of the land through what this guy calls divinely empowered military conquest. It's a story of military conquest and suppression over the inhabitants of the land who have been set apart for judgment for their wickedness. That's his view of the book, and I think it's a pretty close summary. We have to deal with the fact that that God is the same God that later commands followers of the way to actually be people of peace. So, throughout the book of Exodus and developed through history over thousands of years, and this is probably the account of 16,000 years before the coming of Christ, BCE, you actually see this story of Exodus, redemption, and salvation. The common factors between these three things, Exodus, redemption, and salvation, are that they involve God working on people's behalf. This is the work of God because he loves people, and it has long-term implication, not just immediate for those people. As we read into the story, here's your test question. I'm expecting Chris to win this one, because she's pretty good on this. Why do they keep taking a pop at me, she says. Chris will know this answer. I believe that they were afraid, the people. Fear is spoken about, but I know the people of Israel were afraid because they even took their mummy with them. So if you can find the verse for that, that would be good. You can have a think. It's certainly hinted at. Well, at least a relic of the past. So, at the end of the Exodus is the promised land, the promise of God. That is what is promised. But as I've said, it's not a short journey. Our lives are not short. They're often not straightforward. God has promised, I will make of you this tiny people who's been depleted by oppression and murder and not being allowed to produce male children. He says, I will make of you a great and numerous people. And that promise was given way, way back to Abraham and Sarah. I will make of you a great and numerous nation that will have its place amongst the nations and in history. And that has been and is being fulfilled, both through the physical, historical Israel, but increasingly through the new Israel, God's people. But for 40 years, the people wandered in the wilderness. That's quite a long time to wait for your prayers to be answered, isn't it? We're never going to give up. We're never going to give in. So these people that think they're going to get snap answers to questions and prayers about spiritual revival, you're never going to give up. You're never going to give in. It's dependent upon God and God's grace. A nomadic people, a tabernacle or a tent people. They didn't build great cities. They were on the move. Something about God's people and why Baptist churches have often been called tabernacles, because we don't have church buildings. We have tabernacles. We have tents. We are the temple of God. We are a tabernacle people. They wandered for 40 years because of their doubt and disobedience, but also so that they and others might learn the way of faith and following, rather than complaining and doubting God. And in times of fear and uncertainty, beware complaining, beware doubting. We need to learn to be people of faith and following God. Most of these people never entered the promised land in this life. Most of them died. Their shoes may not have grown old or their clothes worn out, but they did. And most of them did not enter the land during this earthly life. We too, who seek the kingdom of God, the promised land, most of us will not enter fully into that in our earthly life. Just to read a few verses to you, you may get your answer to my suggestion in this. if I can find it. Second book of the Bible. Always bring your own Bible to church. They're so different, these. They're on a different page, aren't they? Exodus 13, 17 to 22. When the king of Egypt, that is the Pharaoh, let the people go, God did not take them by the road that goes to the east to Philistia, although it was the shortest way. God thought, I do not want the people to change their minds and return to Egypt when they see that they're going to have to fight. Instead, he led them in a roundabout way through the desert towards the Red Sea. The Israelites were armed for battle. Moses took the body of Joseph with him, as Joseph had made the Israelites solemnly promise to do. Joseph has said, when God rescues you, you must carry my body with you from this place. The Israelites left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. During the day, the Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud to show them the way. And during the night, he went in front of them in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel night and day. The pillar of cloud was always in front of the people during the day and the pillar of fire at night. So through the light and darkness, God guided them in the way. God did not take them the shortest way. God will not necessarily take us the shortest way. And even at the beginning of their exodus, God knew that they may be daunted by the journey and the difficulty, the battles they were going to have. They might change their minds about following, as we know they did. They missed the gherkins of Egypt. Very simple, you can tell they must have had some East End blood in them. They missed the wallies. They might be tempted to go back to the slavery and oppression of Egypt. Can you believe human beings would be consider going back to the old way of life and oppression and addiction? God, at the hand of Moses, which held up a rod or a staff like a shepherd, delivered the Israelites through the Red Sea and onto dry land. God made a way, this time through water. Songs are written about this, and both Moses and Miriam sang and wrote songs. Both of them are recorded in chapter 15. We sing parts of them. They're very powerful. The psalmist also records this incident and sings about it in Psalm 78. God led his people out like a shepherd and guided them through the desert. He led them safely, and they were not afraid, but the sea came rolling over their enemies. So the psalmist sang songs. And this new way in Isaiah says, people will sing my praises. We sing praises, we give testimonies, we tell the stories. That is what we're doing, not just filling time in our worship. We are giving glory, singing praises, telling the stories. So write the poetry, write the songs, bring the prophecies. Those are all needed in our creative worship aspects of that. Take pictures of things that can speak about the way that God makes. The scripture in Exodus 14 says that God did not just do this to free the Israelites. There was another reason God did all this. It was to be a witness to the people of Egypt. As you know, we still have a church in Egypt of believers. God did this not just to free the Israelites, but as a witness to the Egyptians, so that they might know that God, the God, is the Lord, is Yahweh. So it wasn't just to free the Israelites, it was to be a witness so that the Egyptians would come to know that. And the Egyptians saw the sea parted and God making a way for the Israelites. But the Egyptians were still stubborn and hard-hearted, at least their commanding officers were. And they would not let the Israelites go, even though they had said that they could go. They pursued them, under orders, no doubt. These were the people who had oppressed, as we've seen, the Israelites in slavery and thrown their children into the water to drown and had commanded the midwives to suffocate the newborn. These were hard days. Perhaps hard-hearted people. God intervened, we read in chapter 14. We read this, the angel of God, another name, of course, for a theophany of Jesus, the angel of God, who had been the front of the army of Israel, moved and went to the rear. The pillar of cloud also moved until it was between the Egyptians and the Israelites. People believe this is a representation of the Holy Spirit, the cloud and the pillar of fire. The cloud made it dark for the Egyptians, but gave light to the people of Israel. The Hebrew is very unclear on that passage. If you look at it, we think that's what it means. We're not completely sure. And so the armies could not come near each other all night. They were separated by God. God kept them apart. That is what we need to pray in great times of trouble in many ways. God kept them apart. You know, it was not the Israelites who defeated the Egyptians. The Israelites may have got together what motley armor or whatever they had left. It was not the Israelites who defeated the Egyptians. It was God who intervened. Verse 21 in chapter 14, it was the Lord who drove the sea back with a strong east wind. Using climatic changes, he drove the strong east wind back as far as they could see. The sea came back over the Egyptian chariots and their drivers. It says of those who had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. There's a strong hint that not all of the Egyptian army went into the sea. It just says those who followed into the sea. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground with walls of water on both sides. On that day, the scripture says, the Lord saved the people of Israel from the Egyptians, and the Israelites saw them lying dead on the seashore. When the Israelites saw the great power with which the Lord had defeated the Egyptians, they stood in awe of the Lord. They had faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. They often gave Moses a very hard time, but Moses was the one who raised his staff. Others supported him in that as well. So this is an account recording God's intervention. These three things are mentioned. God makes a way, and he does that through people's willingness to obey. It's not just that there is a supernatural action. Exodus, the way out, redemption, the releasing of people from slavery into freedom. Salvation, the understanding of God's rescuing people from danger into safety. And the way out was into something new. It wasn't the same old, same old. That is what God does. He doesn't just release us from the slavery of sin, he releases us into a new way of living. So don't just think about Exodus. Remember, it is to release us into a new way of living. So the New Testament develops this theme with one greater than Moses as the one who becomes the way of God. The theme continues. The one to follow, the only way to the Father. And that is the claim of Jesus. And as we've said before, he's either a madman, he's either used by the devil, he's maniacal, or he speaks the truth. But that is the claim of Jesus. I am the way to the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Just to end with one little verse which comes in Corinthians. It's a great promise, I think, about the trials and the difficulties we go through. As we think about Exodus, we can think about our beginning to follow Jesus. We can think of coming out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But this is just one important verse to us. Those who think they are standing firm had better be careful they do not fall. Every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people, but God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you're put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. Fantastic, isn't it? There's the theme. He will provide you with a way out, which will be the strength to endure through that difficulty. King James used to talk about, but he's long gone, a way of escape. But it's a way out, an exodus. God will provide that way, and that way will be the way of Jesus. So this is the thing. Fantastic, isn't it, scripture, to be able to have it. And although we've seen a really helpful YouTube, and I'm very grateful for people doing that, it is still good to go and to read, certainly the first 18 chapters, but the whole of the 40 chapters, it's a magnificent time. It's a very difficult time trying to understand what is happening in a world which is pretty barbaric, pretty warlike. So it's not easy. But watch out for that theme of Exodus, the way out. Let's just be still